Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter number 2. John chapter 2, and we're going to look this afternoon at verses 18 to 25. John chapter 2 and verses 18 to 25. This section of Scripture, we'll title it this, is His Death and Resurrection Foretold. His death and resurrection foretold. In other words, He told them. Even here early in the Gospel of John and early in this 3-year ministry of Jesus Christ with His disciples, He is telling them about His coming death and His coming resurrection. Let's stand and look at those verses together, John chapter 2, and we'll read verse 18 to 25. I'll read verse 18, and then we'll read together on all the odd-numbered verses, so 19, 21, 23, 25, you help me. And read it good and loud. I may be quiet and I may let you read those for us, okay? So let's do our best. I'll begin and then you join me every other verse. John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and thou wilt rear it up in 3 days? But he spake. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Let's notice especially verses 23 to 25 again. I want you to read all those verses with me. 23, 24, 25. Let's read them all out loud together. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. These are some pretty interesting verses there, and what it says, and we're going to look at that together. Let's pray. Father, please speak to our hearts now. Give us understanding of your word. And Lord, we understand from these verses that you know what is in all men. You know what is in our hearts. And so, Lord, we may be able to sometimes have a faith that maybe can fool other people. It may be a belief that is maybe just skin deep, maybe just quite shallow. But you know, Lord, that it's sometimes it may not be real in our hearts. And Lord, well, I want to have a real faith. I want to have a faith that's deep within my soul. I want my faith to be genuine from my heart. Lord, teach us something this afternoon, I pray. In Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. His death and resurrection foretold. Jesus was, of course, referring in these verses to his own body when he said in verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they question, you know, this temple took years and years in building. How are you going to raise it up in 3 days? But he was referring to his body. He told them that they would destroy the temple, and in 3 days he would raise it up again. You want a sign? You want me to show you that I'm truly the Messiah? You want me to show you that I'm the Son of God? You want there to be a sign to show the Jews that I really am who I've been declaring myself to be? I'll show you a sign. I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. And I'm going to rise again. What an amazing thing. And nothing more validates that Jesus was who he said he was, than his resurrection. They crucified him. They hated him. They put him to death. But 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. Now notice something very interesting. Jesus knew the hearts of the people. They hated him. They rejected him. Jesus knew of his crucifixion that was coming. Jesus knew of his death that was coming. It wasn't going to surprise him. You know, he knew what was coming. He had planned it to come. And he was giving his life. Notice what it says, verse number 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? The temple being built at that time, Herod's temple, had already taken 46 years in construction. Back in verses 14 and 15 of this chapter, when it speaks of Jesus cleansing the temple, the Greek word used was referring to the whole temple area, specifically to the outer courtyard area where the animals were sold to people to make sacrifices. And here in verses 19 and 20, the Greek word that was used was different. It was referring to the inner sanctuary of the temple. And so understand that, again, that other word used earlier was more referring to the temple courtyard. That's where he came in, and even that was supposed to be a holy place. And they were being dishonest and taking advantage of people, dishonest in the money exchange and so on. We talked about that this morning. But here the word is referring to the inner sanctuary of the temple. The same word can also be used in reference to the body, like Paul does in 1 Corinthians 6:19, when he refers to our bodies as being the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus was telling the Jews that though they would destroy his body, you know, though people were going to crucify him, though they were going to kill him, he would raise it up. He would raise up his body. He was prophesying. He was foretelling how his death would come and his resurrection would happen. Now notice verse 21 and 22. John chapter 2, 21. But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered. See, there was many times where even we kind of got into that in Sunday school this morning, how sometimes they usually forgot. But afterwards, they remembered, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, Jesus had many disciples, right? In the sense of there was those apostles that were with him all the time. But there was crowds of people at times that kind of followed him and acted like disciples in a sense, or said that they believed on him, that sort of thing. And Jesus knew that sometimes people's believing on him was really not genuine. It was, they were just hoping for a miracle. They were just hoping something, he would do something for them, maybe help them with a particular need. Jesus was telling the Jews here, and also telling those disciples that were listening and that were watching. He was telling them here in those verses that even though they were going to put him to death, he would rise up from the dead. And after Christ's resurrection, they would remember the words that Jesus said that day. And it would be something that the disciples would end up preaching and teaching to others. Just as Jesus Christ died and rose, we too as believers in Christ, we will one day be resurrected. We will one day be resurrected. Notice again, verse 19, destroy this temple, 3 days I'll raise it up. He was telling them the his resurrection, death and resurrection. Verse 21 makes it clear he wasn't just speaking about the temple there, Herod's temple. He was referring to his own body, and that he had power to resurrect a dead body. Verse 22, when he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered it, and then they believe it. These apostles that were with him, these apostles that heard his teaching more than anyone else, these apostles that spent much time with him, they would remember those words that he taught, and they would believe it then, really, and understand it better than they ever did before after his resurrection. And what would they do? They would then go start preaching it. They would then go start preaching it. They were so convinced by the death, the burial, and the resurrection that they would begin to preach it to the point where they would even give their lives for the Savior. Listen, the resurrection is vital to everything that we believed. And just like Jesus died and rose again, we too as believers in Christ, we understand that we one day will be resurrected. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Those verses at the end of this chapter where it talks about how Jesus, you know, knew their hearts and so on, we're going to kind of maybe bring that into next week's message a bit more. But for this message, very simply, I just want us to focus on this thought of the resurrection. the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. And this is one of the great chapters in the Bible, kind of sharing with us some things about the resurrection and how our faith is not in vain. Just a few simple thoughts here from Corinthians that go with this. If there was no resurrection, we would have no gospel. We would have no Savior. That makes the resurrection pretty important, doesn't it? If there was no resurrection, if Jesus did not rise from the grave, He would have been just like any other ordinary man. You can kill me, you can bury me, and I'm gone. And that's the end. But it wasn't like that for Jesus, was it? He was the Son of God. And He's the first fruits of the resurrection. Just like He was resurrected, you know what? We one day will be resurrected. My body may physically die. I could get sick. I could die of old age. I could die in a car accident. They could bury my body, put it in a casket, put it in a grave somewhere. But you know what? One day my body will be resurrected. And listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is vitally important to our faith. Because if there was no resurrection, we'd have no gospel to preach. We would have no Savior. What makes Jesus our Savior? What gives us victory over sin? What gives us salvation is the fact that Jesus didn't just die, but He rose again from the grave. And so we must believe in the resurrection. Notice 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, Paul says here now to the church at Corinth, I declare this unto you. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. We stand in this. We believe this. This is absolutely what guarantees our salvation. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. He says, verse 2, by which also ye are saved. I'm saved. I'm born again because of this. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. We must believe that. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day from the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures, we must believe that. Both that He died for our sins, but also that He resurrected. Listen, the resurrection's vital. If Jesus was just still in the grave, we would have no salvation, no gospel, no Savior. Second thought I want you to see is this. If there was no resurrection, we would have nothing to preach. We would have nothing to preach. No reason for me to be here. No reason for you to witness. No reason to tell others. Because if there was no resurrection, we have no gospel message to share. If there was no resurrection, we would have nothing to preach. We can preach today. We can tell others about Jesus today. Why? Because He rose from the grave. Because He was resurrected. Let's keep reading there in 1 Corinthians 15. And verse number 5. And that He was seen of Cephas after He resurrected, after He was rose again. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, over 500 witnesses to His resurrection, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Meaning some had already died at the time that Corinthians here was written. He says, after that, He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Remember how Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was blinded and saw Christ there. It says, verse number 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. He says, whether it's me or whether it's the other 11 apostles, all of us have preached. Why? Because we've seen the resurrected Jesus. We've seen the resurrected Savior. You know what? If there was no resurrected Savior, Peter would have been still off somewhere feeling like an utmost failure. The rest of the disciples would have been off there just crying somewhere and defeated somewhere and discouraged somewhere because, man, we spent all this time with Him and now He's gone. What was that all a waste of our time? What was it all about? Listen, the gospel exploded and the gospel was spread. Why? Because these men did see the resurrected Jesus. They did see Jesus who was crucified. They did see him alive from the dead, risen from the grave. And that's why they could preach. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? He said, listen, if Christ was resurrected from the grave, and we've seen him resurrected, why are there some people out there that are saying, oh, there's no resurrection of the dead? When you die, that's it. That's the end. No, just like our Savior was resurrected, we too will be resurrected. Remember how many times Jesus talked about them? About, you know, through me, you know, I'm the living water, I'm the living bread. Through me, you're going to have eternal life. Well, eternal life isn't eternal if it ends when you're 22. Or it ends when you're 45. Or it ends when you're 63. Or it ends when you're 79. Or it ends when you're 102. Eternal life is only eternal if it's forever. And so you know what? Though we may die a physical death upon earth, our bodies will be resurrected. We understand that our souls, when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul was saying to some people that obviously, you know, we're just thinking that when you die, that's it, that's the end. He said, how can that be so? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Paul says to them, listen, if there really is, if God really doesn't have power to resurrect the dead, well then Jesus couldn't have been resurrected. Saying, what's the difference? You know, listen, just as Jesus, God, we have seen Jesus, we do know he was raised from the dead. That was done by God's power. And in the same way, God's power will raise up you. Those who believe on Christ and those who are in Christ Jesus, you too will be resurrected. So he was trying to assure them. Obviously, some of them were questioning and didn't understand. But he wanted to assure them that you too will be resurrected. And so that their preaching was not in vain, and their believing was not in vain, because Christ has power, all power, to raise up those from the dead. God has all power to resurrect the dead. Listen, if there was no resurrection, we'd have no gospel, no Savior. If there was no resurrection, we'd have nothing to preach. You know why the disciples preached like they did? Because they'd seen Jesus. They had seen Jesus. They saw him. They saw the risen Savior. You know, they could see the nail scars in his hands. They could see the nail scars on his feet. They could feel the scar on his side where the spear had thrust through. They saw him. And that's why they preached with a fervency like they did. And that's why they continued on. Listen, the disciples did not give their lives and die as martyrs to propagate a lie. The resurrection has to be real. Listen, if I was one of those men, I wouldn't have done what they did. You look back historically. You look back at those men that were called the apostles. You look at the books of Josephus and books that other men wrote, more historical type books about that time period. All these apostles who would end up themselves dying as martyrs. They didn't die as martyrs just to spread a lie. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't die as a martyr. I would give up my faith if all this time I'd just been lying to people. The reason why they died as martyrs is because it was real. And they were willing to give their lives because the message they were preaching was real. If some didn't like them, so be it. I've seen the Savior. I've seen the Lord. I know He's real. I saw Him crucified, and I saw Him buried, and I've seen Him risen. They could preach the gospel like they did because they knew that the Savior was alive. Listen, the resurrection is real and Jesus is alive. We would have nothing to preach and nothing to share if there was no resurrection. Last thought I want to share with you is this. If there was no resurrection, then our faith would be vain and we would still be lost in our sin. If there was no resurrection, then our faith would be in vain and we would still be lost in our sins. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15. And let's start in verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Notice verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Boy, if there was no resurrection, then I'd still be a sinner on my way to hell. If there was no resurrection, then we'd have no hope for eternity. There'd be no grace, no mercy, none of the forgiveness of God. We would just all be lost in our sins. We'd all be without hope. We'd all be doomed and condemned to spend an eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. We would die and pay for our own sins. Because of the resurrection, my faith is not in vain. If there would have been no resurrection, we'd be lost. If there would have been no resurrection, we'd be on our way to hell to pay for our sins. But thank God for the resurrection. Because Jesus rose from the dead, my faith is not in vain. And because Jesus rose from the grave, I know that my sins are forgiven, death is defeated, hell has lost, heaven has won. I'm on my way to heaven. Satan loses, Jesus wins. Hell loses, heaven wins. Because Jesus rose from the grave. Because Jesus rose from the grave. Look at what the Bible says towards the end of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. This is a theme verse of church nurseries, right? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. No, talking about one day, we will not all sleep, just remain dead, but we'll all be changed into His glory. We'll be changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the resurrection. You better be thankful for the resurrection, because if there was no resurrection, you would be lost. I would be lost. We would be doomed. We would be condemned to death and hell for all eternity. But because of the resurrection, I know my sins are forgiven. I know my faith is not in vain. I know that heaven's my home for all eternity. I know that heaven wins and hell loses. God wins, the devil loses. I know that I'm saved because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, I'm saved. Because of the resurrection, I've got something to preach. Because of the resurrection, you've got a message to share with others. Because of the resurrection, you can witness and tell others about the gospel. Because of the resurrection, we have a Savior. If there was no resurrection, we'd have none of that. None of that. Thank God. You better thank God every day for the resurrection and for His power. It's His power to resurrect that saves us from our sins. It's the power of the resurrection that takes those who are dead and lost in their trespasses and sins and can quicken the lost and save the lost and give the lost eternal life. Thank God for the resurrection and His power that's able to save you, forgive you from your sins, and give you a message to share with others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,
I thank you so much for your great power that can raise the dead to life. Because you raised Jesus from the grave, we know that our faith is not in vain. We know that we too shall rise. We know that when the trumpet of God sounds, when the archangel plays the trumpet at the rapture, I know I'm going to rise. I'm going to rise. And I'm going to have a glorified body, a resurrected body. I'll be perfect one day. I'll be sinless one day. I'll never sin again when you make me perfect like Jesus Christ one day in heaven. I do thank you for your resurrection. Thank you that we can be victorious. And sin and death and hell can all be defeated because of the great power of God to raise the dead and to give eternal life. I'm thankful for it. Lord, help us to be thankful for what we have and be thankful that our faith is not in vain. Help us to realize that it is worthwhile to give our lives for, just like the apostles who preached and were willing to be martyrs for Christ because it was real. It was real. And if we face a little criticism or a little persecution or somebody in a school class maybe mocks us a little bit because we believe in Jesus, help us just to ignore them and just keep on because our faith is real and Jesus is real and the death, burial, and resurrection is real. Help us to know that we'll have no regrets one day when we stand before you and see you face to face. Help us not to doubt our faith and not doubt the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but to believe it. And help us to share our faith. We have a message to share because it's real. We have a gospel to share because it's real. We have a Savior to share because it's real. We have eternal life to tell others about because it's real. Help us to be convinced, Lord, that our faith is not in vain, and help us to share Christ with others, please.